you like to do more? Would you like to, in addition to just emailing your member of Congress, might you be interested in actually working with people in your local district to schedule a visit with a member of Congress? Mm. So we try to help make it simple for people who feel like, I don't have much time, but I care about this issue and I want to talk to my member of Congress. And we actually even provide a form to make the email to the member very simple and straightforward. But for those who say, oh, I have really cared about this issue and I just am not sure how I should get involved in talking to Representative Tonko, who represents the Albany and Troy area,
right,
or to Senator Gillibrand or Senator Schumer, we can provide sort of methods for how people can get involved.
Well, that's a great point. Tonko is, in general, very progressive and in line with the priorities that you stated already. So what are ways that those of us who are constituents of Tonko might help?
Well, we believe it's really important for members of Congress to hear directly from people, whether citizens agree or disagree. So as elected officials, they like hearing when people appreciate them, too,
right,
and when people want to encourage them. So one, we think it's really important. And in many cases, it's very we don't have very many members. I'm not sure if there are any members of Congress who agree on every issue that we work on. And there's always a ways that members can maybe stretch a little bit and do a little bit more. We often will ask members to sign on to specific pieces of legislation in addition to voting on specific pieces of legislation. But there are other ways that they might get involved. So most members really try to get to know what's happening in their districts. And the people who live in the district are the best people who can talk to the member of Congress about that. As an example, when we were, we just had our lobby day, a big annual lobby day, and we were lobbying on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, so-called SNAP program, that is provides food benefits to millions of people. But one of the things that was most powerful are the people who could come, people from, like students even, as well as people who themselves had experienced food insecurity, to be able to go and talk to the members of Congress about what that experience was and why the SNAP program was so vital either to them or their family or to the people in their neighborhood and in their communities. So that's just one small example, but there are lots of examples on all of these issues that affect every one of us. And so being able to talk about that experience and how, you know, we believe that the world can be a better place if Congress would take specific actions is really our mission. And so having citizens who, you know, aren't political people necessarily, sharing that information is really, really important.
So DC is a notoriously cynical place. Mm. How do you, the staff at FCNL, and the folks involved stay focused on the priorities that you have?
That's a great question, Melissa, because it's very easy to get distracted by whatever the latest, you know, sweep is on social media or in the news or, you know, whatever's kind of like moving quickly. And there are many things that move quickly. But I think being really clear and focused about those priorities on peace and justice and sustainability, and then finding the specific focus of legislation within those broad ideals that we can work on. As another example, we've been working to try to prevent the U.S. military from refueling Saudi Arabian jets as they fly over and bomb Yemen. This is a big issue that's been in the news the last few weeks because of the other issues with Khashoggi and Saudi Arabia. But every member of Congress, while you might think, well, how does that affect me in Troy, or what impact does that have on me?
Right.
Well, the fact is it's U.S. dollars that are fueling that war, and we really don't have any kind of national security interest over there. We're doing that in support of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And right now we see senators really questioning whether we should be doing it. So when members of Congress are willing, when constituents are willing to push their senators to vote against that, it has an impact.
Mm. Is there anything?
I should just say, I kind of got away from you, but because you asked the question about how do we stay hopeful, I think, and how do we not get dispirited about everything that's changing. It is because we see people having an impact, and that's really important. We see when people get engaged and kind of sense that their agency makes a difference, that's really empowering.
Right.
And then I think I just come back to being a Quaker organization. You know, we're a faith-based organization. So that means that we have to look beyond just the immediate success and really have to think about the long-term goals of what we're trying to do, the long-term benefit of really trying to work for a better world. And that also keeps us focused on the mission.
So it's not a means to an ends.
Right, right.
Is there anything?
Constant,
go ahead.
Just to say, it's a constant process of listening and approaching people to build a relationship with members of Congress, with the staff and members of Congress, and speaking truth. I mean, that's what's really essential about our work: speaking truth.
Right. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to speak to?
Only to say, I think these have been great questions, and I really appreciate your invitation to people to check us out, to check out fcnl.org and see how you might get involved. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're on Instagram, so that's another way to learn a little bit about us. But we welcome anyone. You do not have to be a Quaker. You don't have to be a religious person to be involved. We do ask that when people join us and participate in meetings with members of Congress that they kind of use the approach we use, which is to really try to listen first, but also to go forward with a request that we move into an office on. But we're also a great resource. Just if you want to learn more about some vital issues that are happening, just check out the website, and we'd love to have people involved.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a sustaining supporter. And what that means is every month, GXC, the kind folks here at GXC, will alert you to the fact that you are money is being taken from your credit card. Not a lot. Whatever you ask for, whatever you say you were willing to give, be it $5, be it $100. It's there. They let you know, and you then, you don't even have to worry about it. They'll ask you if you want to give that month, and you do. And you don't even know it's gone, you know? It's like, it's so much harder. If I had $5 in my pocket and someone said, please give me that for the WGXC, I'd say, hey, I need it for my coffee, my whatever. But if you're never even saw it and it's online and it's your credit card, you don't even think about it.
So the Rensselaer Plateau is a distinct geological area in Rensselaer County. It's in the eastern third of the county. It's roughly, it's about 118,000 acres in size. It was formed when the Taconics were formed, and it's a layer of essentially this big layer of gray wacky, which was the fifth layer of rock down when this arc of volcanic islands collided with the North American continent. And it wound up on top in the area where the plateau is. So it's high elevation, poor drainage, acidic soil, and that results in a natural area that's really more similar to the northern forests than the surrounding lowlands. And it's been relatively undeveloped because of the geography, pretty much. And so it's resulted in an area that's the fifth largest, unbroken forested area or contiguous forested area in New York State.
Okay. And why, given your description of the terrain, why should anybody care about the Rensselaer Plateau?
Well, it's not only is it the fifth largest contiguous forest in New York State, it's also home to wildlife that need large stretches of forest, such as moose and bobcat and the goshawk, which is a type of accipiter, a hawk. It's the wildlife that depend on not just one place, but multiple areas to feed and breed and migrate between. And that large amount of forest is also stewarding our water resources,
the headwaters of several small rivers that feed into the Hudson River and feed into and also deliver to the Tom-Hanek Reservoir, providing clean water for many people. So it's when you have large stretches of forest, you're protecting wildlife and water, as well as recreational areas for the people of Rensselaer County to enjoy. And those are just a few reasons.
Okay. And so what is the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance?
Well, we are a not-for-profit organization, a land trust, if you will, and we our mission is to promote and facilitate the conservation of these forests. We do that through actually acquiring land, purchasing it ahead of selling it to the state to become a state forest or wildlife management area. We're doing a lot of education, education for landowners so that they know how to steward their own land. I guess that sums it up right there. I could keep going, but.
We're speaking with Jim and Annie of the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance about some of the exciting work going on east of Albany and Troy in the high country there. What do you think are the major issues confronting the security of the Rensselaer Plateau?
Well, the biggest threat is increased development. So development pressure from the suburbs pushing out into the forests and fragmentation and parcelization of the forest. So putting in, and that would be you know, there's new businesses coming in to Rensselaer and Troy that are going to be attracting people that are going to want places to live. So we don't oppose development in appropriate areas, but if it's if you have development that divides the forest up into smaller forest blocks, that affects all the services that Annie was talking about the forest providing.
So the public perception, I think, of Rensselaer County, at least my perception of Rensselaer County, is it's fairly conservative and that people who live there would be hostile to the idea of limiting development or limiting unrestrained growth. Do you find that that's a challenge in the work that you're doing?
No, not at all, really, because, you know, you asked what the threat was. The threat's development. We're not opposing development. We are advocating for conservation of the forests with landowners that want to voluntarily conserve their land. And we hope to outpace development with conservation. So we found that we've got quite a bit of support on both sides of the aisle. Congressman Faso was actually a pretty good advocate for, you know, the work that we're doing. The county executive, past and present, have both been very supportive. Our two New York State senators, Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, are supportive of the work we're doing. So it's both sides of the aisle. We have support from, you know, the town supervisors from most of the towns in the region. So no, there's not. We haven't seen any political opposition to what we're doing.
Well, I was struck at the last of your great annual fundraisers that you have not just support from people I would expect to be supporting conservation, but also the extractive industries, the miners and foresters in Rensselaer County who do business there. So that is indication of a coalition that's pretty impressive. How can people find out more about the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance if they're interested in finding out or becoming more involved?
You can visit our website, www.rensselaerplateau.org. We also have a Facebook page that we post our events on. You can call us, 518-712-9211. Email us, get in touch with any kind of question. And we have year-round activities for families, for people of all ages to get out into nature together. So find out what our events are, show up, and get to know some new people, and we hope to see you out there.
Sign up for our email list and our mailing list, and you'll get some great, you know, e-news and newsletters.
Yep, that too. And on the homepage on our website, there's a little button you can click to sign up for e-news.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for coming by. It's great to hear about your good work, and hope to see you out in the woods sometime.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hope to see you there too.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. WRGB-TV in Albany reports that Rensselaerville Town Supervisor Stephen Fledging has been charged with grand larceny third degree, falsifying business records, both felonies, and official misconduct, a misdemeanor. Fledging resigned from his position in the town in southern Albany County after a routine town audit discovered funds missing from town coffers. Fledging was arraigned in town of Westerloo Court and is due back there on December 17th. Joseph Spector, Chad Arnold, and Jeff Platsky report in the Poughkeepsie Journal that some New York farmers and business people believe the president's tariff policies have already slowed down sales and led to higher prices for steel. Quote, as soon as they started talking tariffs, the imports slowed down, unquote, said Joseph Morgan, the chief executive at a Cortland County company that makes things such as steel enclosures for military electronics and screws for aerospace. Quote, all the jobs we bid on last year, we were losing money on. It was one of the busiest years with some of our lowest margins, unquote. In September, the Trump administration added a 10% tariff on $200 billion in Chinese products that is set to jump to 25% on January 1st unless a new deal is struck between the countries. Tim McMorris, general manager of Marco Manufacturing, an electronics company in Poughkeepsie, is hoping a deal will be made. Quote, we were expecting a 25% tariff on a lot of the parts we import to build our printed circuit boards, so that's a good thing if, in fact, they are going to delay that or hopefully remove it altogether, unquote, he said. Farmers have seen prices for soybeans drop by nearly $2 per bushel since the tariffs were first announced. In central New York, Seth Pritchard's 800-acre farm produces an average of 36,000 bushels of soybeans a year, so $2 a bushel is a major difference. Quote, the tariffs impacted us significantly, unquote, he said. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Tim Martin reports for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson boys basketball team won the Battle of the Bridge Cup December 14th, beating Catskill 93-79. It was the first loss of the year for Catskill, which came into the game ranked 13th in the state among Class B schools. Hudson's LaVon Fernandez was too much for Catskill, though, scoring a career-high 41 points. On December 19th, Hudson takes on Taconic Hills and Catskill plays against Chatham. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. I'm Tom Rowe. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website www.commongroundinc.org.
That might be the home.
Hello, caller, you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. What up, dog? Hold on, man. Let me give you a clap, dog. You want to introduce your name and yourself to the people that might not know who you are? Yeah, I'm here.
I'll just answer the question.
Yeah. Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Rashad Barksdale, Hudson native. That's it, you know?
Yeah, and Roll Tide, though.
I
got you first. Rashad, man, it's always great to have you on the line. In a couple of weeks, we'll be able to have you sitting here with us. And that's what it's been. I'm going to guess, 4 years?
It's been a while. It was actually around, the last time I was there was around the Christmas time.
You were here for Thanksgiving, bro.
Was it Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I got the pictures. But I got to say.
Wasn't it during Christmas?
Nah, bro. Cause Star came down.
Yeah.
The last time you was here, we had the Vanique, man. This was on the Vanique run, yo.
Yeah.
We had the purple Vanique.
The ooze, the secret of the ooze Vanique.
Yeah, that was where Rashad went back home, like, woo, who was that?
Had to bring it again, though.
Yo, that, I remember that, man. That was a good one.
It was vibes.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Almost got us in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They snitched on us about that. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it was inside. Sorry, man. Sometimes we forget we in front of the mics, man. We just be talking. I want to talk about the event, but the one thing I want to say is that I've been helping you out with the event for at least 2 or 3 years. Slay was involved for 2 or 3 years, and no matter what, and Slay, I'm gonna speak for you. No matter what, I want to help out again, and you want to know why? One, it makes me feel good inside, and two, you give out great gifts to the helpers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just want to say that. talk about the event, sir.
Yeah, so I've lost track, but I think this is, I want to say the fourth or fifth year we've done this Christmas event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the slips, it's a random pull in regards to who we're selecting as far as the kids. You know, you can have the slips are at the youth center and at the middle school.
Okay.
Middle school as well.
Cause
you
got to
handle back in.
Yeah.
12 and under. Yeah.
Okay.
12 and under handles back in by the 17th, which is, I believe, next Monday. So the winner, there's going to be a total of 4 winners.
Four? Right, okay.
So 4 winners. We're going to take them out to Club Life, you know, have some pizza, some lunch out there, and then end it with a shopping trip at Walmart. And we're going to be transporting them around in a limo as well. So it's always a good time.
Nice.
A good time.
Yeah. What made you want to do this? I mean, Rashad, at first, you know, you started out doing the celebrity tournament, and then it seems like you progress every year or every other year. You now are involved in a Thanksgiving event. You do your Christmas event. It's almost to the point, and I mean, even this summer you did an event, like a back-to-school event, to the point where it's almost like you're involved all year round.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, when I first started, it was just a basketball event, and that grew, and I wanted to expand, and, you know, just throughout the whole community and help somehow, some way, and, you know, I felt it was only necessary to, you know, bring along, well, it was the Christmas, and then it was the Thanksgiving. So I just didn't want to do the basketball thing, because that's just once a year, obviously, and obviously, you know, these events are obviously once a year as well, but I wanted to continue to do more for the community, and, you know, it's always, you know, appreciated. You know, have your guys support you, like you said, you guys come out and help, and it's just, like you said, it makes you feel good. And just seeing, you know, especially this time of the year, seeing kids, you know, just happy to go shopping, the trampoline park, you know, I bring my kids with it, you know, they have fun, so it's a great time.
I'll go back, and I won't mention the kid's name, but over the summer you gave away a bicycle. And I remember seeing this kid, like, it was like the happiest kid. Like, it was Christmas in, I think it was August or September, when you gave the bike away. And you gave a bicycle away to this young man. young boy. He's growing to be a man. And he was just excited. And I think that's one of the things that I like to be a part of, to say, like, okay, you know, we're doing some good things out here, and the kids are really looking up to it, and they feed it into it. So respect.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And, you know, shout out to him for coming. You know, it was obviously, I was supposed to hand out more than one bite, you know, but mm-hmm. he was really the only one that showed up, which is, it's fine, you know. I mean, you can't make everybody happy, but, you know, you make one person happy, and as you saw his face, and, you know, I see, when I came home for Thanksgiving, I was thankful to still see his bike, because I've heard that he's had his bike stolen mm-hmm. a couple times, yeah. You know, we had to make sure he had a nice lock as well. Nick helped him get a lock, so, yeah, little things, man, the little things.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because, like, each program or each event that you do, you have this theory. And, I mean, Slay, you've been involved in events and stuff like that. Like, the first one or two times, it might not pop off the way that you expect it. Mm-hmm. How do you keep that energy going, knowing that you want to do something good, and it's like, hey, it's here, come get it, and people mm-hmm. don't come out to get it?
Yeah, you know, one thing that my dad has really taught me growing up, you know, particularly, you know, it came about football, like when he talked about football, but then he also said about life is, as long as you're consistent, you know, things will happen. So, you know, being consistent with trying to do events, yes, the first one, the second one may or may not be, you know, go as planned as you want it to. But you learn from it, you know. There's always a learning experience from whether you win or lose. So it's just taking about what you're going to do with it. So it's tough sometimes, don't get me wrong. But once again, I know that a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, but I know that people do kind of look forward to some of the things that I do. So I find it's a responsibility of myself to keep going.